Welcome back to the Effective Ministry Podcast, the podcast that helps you have an effective youth and children's ministry in your local church. I'm Tim Bielhartz, a children's ministry advisor for YouthWorks in Sydney. And today we're talking about public school ministry, specifically how a lunchtime group in your local primary or high school can work alongside your SRE classes and your local church kids club or youth group to help students understand the Christian message and what it might mean for them. We've done a couple of episodes recently on what effective ministry might look like for private Christian schools as they partner with local churches. Episode 38 has a conversation with Christian school chaplain Polly Butterworth and ex-chaplain, now local church children's minister, Peter Oates. There is also my conversation with Dr. Ruby Holland on episode 41 and 45 on the faith formation of teenagers and Ruby's particular research amongst same-sex Anglican schools in Sydney. However, for most of us who are listening, we have the local church in mind, and we're going to have a much greater involvement in our local government schools. Special religious education, or SRE, scripture, is an important part of our involvement in public schools, and I hope to have a conversation about SRE for you in the new year. But alongside SRE, lunchtime groups is another way in which the local church can be involved in the local school and help to shape the spiritual education of our public school students. For this conversation, I'm joined by David Krebs, who works for Scripture Union, one of the organisations that helps churches know how to effectively set up and run lunchtime groups. I'm also joined by high school SRE teacher Heather Thompson and youth minister Liam Nolan, who together run a lunchtime group in their local high school. Now, this episode is coming out in mid-December, which means that in Australia, we're coming up to our long summer holidays. There'll be one more episode next week with Reverend Ian Barnett talking about the spiritual influence of grandparents, and it's a cracker. You don't want to miss that. But then we'll be taking a break over January. We'll return in February, and I've already got a few great conversations lined up for the new year. I'll be chatting with Matt Markins, CEO of Awana in the US, David Reitveld, the senior minister at Dapto Anglican Church and author of Being Christian After Christendom, Mike McGarry from the Youth Pastor Theologian, and of course, plenty of local children's and youth ministers from around Sydney and beyond. Thank you once again for listening along with the Effective Ministry Podcast. If you would like to give me a Christmas present this season, you could write a review on Apple Podcasts and send me a screenshot of your message to effectiveministrypodcast@youthworks.net. That would be a great encouragement. But for now, let's dig into the conversation with Dave, Heather, and Liam. All right, well, it's great to be here with Dave and Heather and Liam. Thanks for jumping on the podcast, guys. I might just start by getting you to each introduce yourself, and particularly in reference to our topic, which is lunchtime groups in public state schools in New South Wales, which is where we're located. Dave, let's start with you. What's your role and how does it relate to lunchtime groups?
Yeah, so I work for Scripture Union New South Wales as, I believe my title is schools ministry worker, although that kind of changes every now and again. But basically my role is to encourage, equip and empower our volunteers and students to run lunchtime groups in New South Wales public schools. So I oversee the Sydney region in particular. I have a little team. And yeah, most of my week is spent hanging out with volunteers, writing resources, checking in with people, admin, and the kind of usual ministry stuff.
Fantastic. So you've got some oversight role there. Heather and Liam, you're both involved in a particular lunchtime group. Heather, where is your perspective? Where do you come from and how does that feed into lunchtime groups?
Yeah, so I have been a scripture teacher at Tomorrow High since midway through 2020. So as part of my role, I am one of the organizers of our lunchtime group. So I have written the programs and I organize the kids, organize the games, organize the hot chips, as well as teaching lessons throughout the week in class with the kids. Yeah.
Wonderful. And finally, Liam, you've got a different perspective again. Tell us about your role.
Yeah, that's right. So, hey, I'm Liam. I'm the Youth and Families Minister at St. Stephen's Normanhurst. And I guess what I want to see take place in my role there is that I want to see teenagers know Jesus and make him known. And I think that it's really strategic and cool that one of the ways I can do that is by partnering with local schools and the ministries that's happening there in a variety of different ways. And one of the ways that I do that is that Tomara High is the most attended public school out of my youth group. And so I want to be getting around and supporting the work that's happening there so that I can be supporting my youth kids in their ministry and in their evangelism and be supporting the work of Tomara High as they seek to see kids come to know and love Jesus.
Great. So we've got the parish representative, we've got the SRE representative, and we've got the SU representative. And so that was why I particularly wanted you three all together in this conversation. So we have the great privilege in New South Wales, which most but not all of our listeners are in, to talk about Jesus. We've got SRE, and there's going to be some future podcasts talking a little bit more about SRE. But Dave, as one who from SU, you sort of oversee a lot of the logistics around lunchtime groups, do you want to just describe what is a lunchtime group? What actually happens? What do we have the opportunity to do here in New South Wales?
Yeah, so if anyone knows Crew and the lunchtime groups they run, it's very similar to that. But basically, it operates like a student society. The policy it actually comes under is called voluntary student activity of a religious nature, or we call it the VSA policy. But basically, it means that it's separate to SRE, it's different policy, it has nothing to do with it, but it comes under the supervision and authority of the principals. So the great thing is that we've got a lot more freedom about what we can say at a lunchtime group with the VSA policy. But the kind of hard thing is that if the principal really doesn't want it to happen, there's nothing really we can do. So there's great benefits and great hardships sometimes getting them to happen in schools.
And so there's going to be some logistics in actually getting one off the ground. What do churches need to be thinking about in order to start a lunchtime group if they don't have one already?
Yeah, I think the main thing is finding other people who might be willing to partner with you. Like a big thing we're on about at SU is who else in the local Christian community might be able to be involved. And we're recognizing schools are probably starting to be more of the center of the community. And so there's a lot of people invested in them, whether it be SRE teachers or parents, even Christian teachers at the school. So finding some other people and just praying about it. We found prayers being really helpful, particularly with tricky schools. Like one school, they prayed for 10 years before a lunchtime group got in, but that was just regular prayer. And eventually God worked and answered that prayer. The other thing is chat to us. We're here to help. We want your group to run how it's best for your context. And so we'll help set you up with resources and admin, so you can just get to the work of hanging out with the students and chatting to them about Jesus.
And my understanding is, like SRE, you have to go into the school through a provider. Do churches have to register through Scripture Union in order to go through the school?
You actually don't have to at all, which is, again, it's kind of a bit of a funny area of policy. But the benefit of kind of going through us at Scripture Union New South Wales is that you'll get the support from us as well, in encouragement and helping you with those resources for free. But also because we've got a really good relationship with the Department of Education, it means that we have a bit of standing with them. It means we're a bit more respected, and so we can kind of give backing and weight, which helps schools feel quite comfortable to let a lunch group happen. And so that's, kind of why we suggest going through us.
All right, great. So we've got some application points straight off the bat. So if you are not yet in the school, you can talk with SCU, you can talk with Dave, and he'll help you work through the legislation and all the requirements to do that. Let's talk about, though, what the actual benefit is. Heather, you're in the school, you're teaching SRE. Why also run a lunchtime group as well as be involved in SRE ministry?
Yes. So my background is actually in camping ministry. So I used to work at Crew and do the school camps there. And I really think that the same thing applies, that you could gain a whole year of rapport in one camp. And I feel like that also applies to lunchtime group. We see the same kids every week, we play games, we share stories, we eat food together, and you're able to build rapport so much faster with these kids when you're in an environment that feels more like a youth group instead of the classroom, which they usually see me in. I am at their lunchtime group as well, but it's very different in the sense that we don't have a curriculum that we have to strictly keep. We don't have any behavioral problems. We have the kids who want to be there 100%. They want to be investing in this. They want to be owning the community. And that also pushes into their attitudes in the classroom. And so they're both mutually beneficial. You get kids who are interested and who come and they are more willing to ask questions in the classroom. And then if they ask really big questions in the classroom, they're able to follow that into lunchtime. In an extra 40 minutes with them, they're able to have uninterrupted conversation. And so they're both, really go hand in hand so well. And I think they're mutually beneficial and so important when you're looking at it from a rapport point of view, because you want to know your kids. Because if you know your kids, they can trust you more, they rely on you more, they will know you more, and they'll be more willing to open up and think more critically about the Bible and what that means for them. And so they kind of go hand in hand, and I wouldn't want to do it any other way.
That's fantastic. I love the way that they complement each other. My understanding as well is while parents have the authority to sign their child into either SRE or the lunchtime group, there may not be a one-for-one crossover between those two as well, that you may actually get students whose parents are happy for them to go to the lunchtime group who don't go to scripture, for example. Do you ever find that in your context?
Yeah, absolutely. It's mostly the other way around. I think think it's quite interesting that you need to sign up for a extracurricular lunchtime activity, because if you want to join the chess club, you don't need parental permission. You just go there at lunch. And so I think that the parents might have a different perspective on what it is, given that there is that extra permission. But other times, parents have just got their kids in scripture because they were in scripture as kids, their parents were in scripture as kids. And so there's that cycle that just keeps on going within the family. But having the lunchtime group as an option for them to come is really helpful, because once they have signed in or opted into anything, that doesn't mean that they are locked into that. So they can join at any time. We give out permission notes at least once a term for kids who are new or trying it out. And we have that as an option for kids to hand out to their friends as well. And so that there's always a way for students to get into the classroom for lunchtime group. And so that's not a barrier that they're stuck behind either.
And the permission notes are really important, because it's the thing that helps lunchtime groups be more free in what they can say. So like SRE, we're not meant to proselytize, which I think is probably a good thing. And proselytizing is defined as having non-parental permission to be there. And so the fact that parents are willing to send their kid who might be Muslim or Hindu or whatever to lunchtime group is amazing, because you'd never get them in SRE.
Yeah, there's appropriate oversight with curriculum in SRE, that we teach according to the curriculum, and that covers certain things and doesn't cover other things, where, as you say, Heather, the lunchtime group, you've got a lot more freedom of where in the Bible you go, the topics that you talk about, the depth into which you can go in other areas. Liam, tell us about the value of you being there. We mentioned just before we started recording, there's the importance of it being a relational bridge between the church world and the school world. Do you want to speak more about that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think just bouncing off something that Heather was saying earlier, one of the things, I teach a bit of SRE in primary schools, but something that makes a high school lunchtime group feel different to that, other than just the age, is that it doesn't feel like a baptized kind of class, but it just feels like a mini youth group. And so bringing all the things that kids really love and benefit from at youth, like time to chat, a short game, a Bible talk that's targeted at them, and then a period of time in discussion groups, we kind of squeeze that into 40 minutes. And it means that those benefits that complement what happens in SRE are really available there. And so I guess coming to actually answer your question about kind of how I understand kind of my role there in bridging, I guess I like to think of what me and the other youth minister, shout out to Nick, friend of the cast, and what he does as he comes in there as well, is lowering the barrier of entry to some kids who might be thinking about coming along to youth, who might be thinking about joining one of the youth groups that we're at. We're able to sit with them and kind of get to know them, know who they are. And then with the idea of inviting them along, well, then there'll be a friendly face other than just the different kids who they might have as mates there, but they actually know some of the people who are involved in running these programs and are able to get a really good sense of what that might be like.
Yeah, and we have seen heaps of fruit from that too. I can think of at least 5 kids who have started attending either St. Matt's, which is a local church, or St. Phil's, or even Liam's church, as well who have met people that kind of out the peripheral kids in the school who have met people and clicked with them in lunchtime group, whether that's other students or Nick or Liam. And they have, started going to youth group, which is great, which was mine and my colleague Fiona's goal. Originally, when we took over, the lunchtime group was on a Wednesday and we just kind of felt like there was no cohesion with youth group in that sense, because by the time, Thursday rolls over, they kind of forget that, lunchtime group could have happened and, oh, youth group is a thing, but when is that again? Whereas we're able to direct them straight into a youth group the day that they were at our lunchtime group, which has really worked well, I think.
Yeah, I think there's two really important things just to pick up on. One, that relational connection, I think, as you mentioned, is really, really key. And there, some people have talked about the stepping stone approach that SRE, their parents have signed them in, and if their parents have signed them in, they have to be in their class. So there's a compulsory aspect to that. As long as their parents have signed them into that class at school, then you've got the lunchtime group, which is voluntary. You still need parent permission, but it's a voluntary nature at school. So that's one step removed. And then the next step is to go voluntary to something offsite, outside of school. But the relational connection, as you say, Liam, is really key. Mm. The other thing I think is worth noting that this is a great opportunity to collaborate with other churches. This is one of our YouthWorks' seven principles of effective ministry, is actually you're collaborating with others, that you've got a gospel kingdom mindset, that it's not just about my local church, but I can work with other local churches for the sake of the spiritual development of young people. And the fact that Heather and Liam, you are at different churches, you've got Nick as well. So there's different churches all coming together at Tarramarra High to help with the discipleship of these young people.
Yeah. And if I can just jump in on something there, that's something I was really interested in, how that dynamic would work before I started coming along to this group. I was a little bit anxious that, me and Nick as these kind of different youth ministers, that we would be, like seagulls over hot chicks, kind of like fighting over these kids who might be keen to come along to youth group, that they would come to mine. But I think what's been really cool about the space is that that hasn't been like the focus. Like Nick and I are just genuinely like, hey, we don't care which one of our youths you come along to. Like I run a good youth and so does Nick, and just jump along to whatever one you want. And by the fact that we have different things going on, there might be like locational reasons or other reasons that one group's going to work better for one kid than another. And Nick and I are just really happy to send kids to the other person's youth if that's going to be what's working best for them, because we just want to see them plugged into a local church.
And from a school perspective, part of my role is that I'm employed by a body of churches, and we are supported by local churches all across the local area. And we are able to go and visit churches and do and promote the ministry at the school and talk to their parents and have their parents pray for us, and have so many different types of churches support the ministry and pray for the ministry is fantastic, because you get that connection between the school, the kids, the churches, and the scripture teachers, which has been really great.
Hey, it's Tim again with a quick end of year financial appeal from YouthWorks. One of the significant ministries that YouthWorks has is in supporting the effective teaching and facilitating of special religious education in New South Wales government schools. You can help more children explore God's word through SRE and learn to navigate life's challenges by having Jesus as their firm foundation. Your support today will help ensure thousands more children can be nurtured in their faith, as you help us at YouthWorks train, equip, and support SRE teachers with the resources they need to continue this vital work in 2024. And as a special bonus, if you give during December, you can have your tax-deductible gift doubled, so more young people can be oriented to Christ for life. Thank you for considering how you can invest today. Just Google YouthWorks SRE Donate.
Now, we don't want to paint a completely rosy picture here. Sometimes it's a bit of a challenge to actually get lunchtime groups up and running. Heather or Liam, is there any particular challenges that you've come across in your local context? And then I'll get Dave to jump in from his
regional perspective and other challenges he might see?
I think it's really like dependent on the culture that the school has. I think Toromara High is quite unique in that the deputy and the principal are both Christians. And so that kind of sets the tone and makes us feel very welcome on a SRE and a lunchtime group level. I think that we kind of feel like we have a, for lack of a better term, legitimate role within the school in the executive perspective anyway. And they really support us and they've come in and given their testimonies and kind of gotten on board with it on so many different levels. And so I think it really depends. Honestly, our lunchtime group has been running for a very long time with different hands. And the biggest challenge was COVID recently and maintaining the kids and not being able to talk to them or check in on them. And when we were allowed in school, we weren't allowed in the classroom with them. And so we kind of had to rely on them. And so I think that the biggest challenge and a huge recommendation from me would be to build up your kids, help them to understand how to lead, how to write a Bible study. And that takes a lot of time, but I think that that might be a challenge that you face one day. And it might not obviously be because of COVID, but it could be for other reasons. But yeah, I can't think of any specific challenges because our school is just, I guess, a bit of a unicorn. It's quite unique. It doesn't really feel like an environment where we're not welcomed, but kind of supported by a lot of different people.
Yeah. I mean, those experiences of, you know, having the principal come in and share his testimony, that for our kids was just so encouraging and amazing for them of being like, oh, I can actually be kind of confident in sharing my faith at school because at the end of the day, like my principal's got my back.
Yeah, I'd say most of the North Shore has it pretty good. Most schools are pretty happy for it to run. But yeah, it really does come down to the principal. And because principals often change every 5 or so years as well, it can kind of throw a spanner in the works for lunchtime groups. And so one of the hardest things for lunchtime groups starting up is the principal, but actually for their ongoing is the principal changing. And because they often come in and review everything like, I don't know if I really want this as part of my school culture. Other times we've had groups shut down because another religious group has been shut down and so they wanted to make it fair for everyone, but that's a pretty rare example. But yeah, it really is school dependent, but rarely is it because students are mucking up or going amiss or even parents are complaining. Actually, it's generally nearly always the principal just doesn't like it for some reason. And it's just one of those funny areas because some schools you'll go to and they're like, can we start SRE? And they're like, no, but you can have a lunchtime group. It's kind of always tricky to know what the school's going to be like, which is why we just really encourage prayer a lot of the time, but also thinking outside the box. So we run after school programs as well. There's a couple of primary school version of lunchtime groups that run after school. I know there's a group that do something before school on a Wednesday. And so it's just like, how can we be creative in engaging these students and this community and helping them, like Heather said, learn to read the Bible for themselves? So I know a school, they won't let them have a group, but the kids are like, well, you can't stop us from reading the Bible with our friends. So they run a lunchtime group. It's just their mates reading the Bible together. And it's like, that's awesome. And so how can we encourage our students to own their faith and to do that peer-to-peer evangelism and discipleship? So it's not always relying on teachers and principals.
So there might be some formal or strategic blockages to engage in SU level lunchtime groups. But as you both pointed out, if we have confident Christianity being fostered in our young people themselves, they can be running things that aren't organized lunchtime groups. They can just be helping their friends understand who Jesus is and what he's done for them, which is really exciting. Now, Dave, you mentioned their primary schools. Some people might be more aware of lunchtime groups being in a high school space with high school scripture, youth ministry, but it is absolutely something that can be happening in primary schools as well. I know that you work with primary schools, particularly in your SU role. How is a lunchtime group going to function in primary school? Are there any other things that children's ministers should be aware of as they think about how to complement their primary school scripture with lunchtime group?
Yeah, I'm pretty new to children's ministry full stop. So it's been a bit of a learning curve. But the way our lunchtime groups work for primary school, we call them super clubs, which is Scripture Union Primary Age Club, which I feel like they put a lot of work into that acronym. But generally they run for years 5 and 6. Throughout the year, sometimes they'll run weekly, sometimes fortnightly, depending on the school. But I've just been blown away about how well attended, like 40, 50 kids every time. And they love being there and they rush to be there, even though they have some of the shortest lunch times, like 20 minutes to do it in, or it's over morning tea or something. And again, I think it's just, how do we engage local churches? So all the super clubs that I know of, they'll have someone from the Baptist Church and the Prezi Church and the Anglican Church and C3 or Hillsong, and they just get together, and it's just because they love the kids and they love Jesus. And I think there's something powerful in that when churches come together in this age where culture wants us to define us by our distinctives, that these people are saying, actually, those things are important, but it's not everything. And actually, we want to be known for our love for Christ. We want to love these kids and show them the love that maybe they don't get elsewhere, show them the dignity that they might not get elsewhere. And again, I think there's a good helpful thing in thinking about the pathway. Like, if we start these kids going to lunchtime groups in year 5 and 6, what happens when they're in year 7 and 8? How much more keen will they be to do that? How much more able will they be to read the Bible with their friends and engage them in topics of conversation about faith? And so I think there's a strategic priority that we should have and encourage our kids ministers to think about how they can engage the kids of the school.
If you are planning on, being involved in a high school lunchtime group, going and doing scripture at the local primary school is a huge game changer. I volunteer at the local primary school where most of the kids, if they're not going to private schools, they'll go to our high school. And so I'll be able to help them transition and build that rapport in primary school so that I can have them in my classrooms and in lunchtime group when they're in high school, and also bridging that gap. So if you have time and space in your week, I highly recommend taking that half an hour for primary scripture, particularly year 5 or year 6, so that you can walk them into high school and be there and be that reoccurring face and that have that relationship with them so that they don't just drop off the face of the earth when they step into high school.
Yeah. As you said earlier, Liam, as well, that the relational bridges are really, really key. And so if it's the same person that is present at primary school scripture, high school, in the lunchtime groups, at the church, obviously as many of those spaces as someone is able to be in, the more value you're going to get from the time investment that you have there. I'd love to just finish by thinking about some success stories. What does this actually look like? Heather, as you've looked at your lunchtime group, are there any, particular positive moments, particular students that stand out, particular conversations that you might have had that just bring you joy and see the value? Oh, this is worth doing because I've had this moment.
Absolutely. When I started, the year 12s I just graduated were in year 9. And I was their teacher, and they were a huge cohort of kids who are in church and who showed up to our lunchtime group every single week and forced it to happen even through the weirdness of COVID and all the restrictions and how schools dealt with it. And they really made it happen. They begged with me to give them content so that they could go and take ownership of that and give it in lunchtime group. So they were great. I will miss them so much. They were great culture setters. They got around the kids. They knew what they were talking about, and they have a genuine faith for themselves, which I thought for a lot of them, was quite beyond their years, being that they were still in high school. But at the moment, I think the thing that's brought me so much joy is seeing the younger kids take ownership of the community. And I think that this whole semester, term 3, we had our year 9s, run every week, and they ran games and the talk, and we got to give them feedback on their time management and the way that they presented. And currently year 10, at the end of last term, year 10, we're like, Heather, can we please do next term? And I was like, absolutely. I would love for that. It's so cute. seeing them each week stand up the front, and it's just kids that have such a huge passion and love for Jesus, but aren't the kids who are loud and who you'd think would be in like interested in taking up these leadership roles, who have really gone above and beyond making slideshows and putting time and energy into games and having those really genuine discussions with other people about their faith. So I think there's been lots of elements, lots of kids, and yeah, great culture setters who love Jesus with such a firm, steadfast passion that have just really encouraged me. Insight, which is our lunchtime group, is my favorite part of my job.
That's awesome. It's great to see the young people taking that ownership and having that agency to run ministry. And it's a great space for them to be able to express their gifts and to be able to show that they, you know, can be contributive members, which they might be able to take into their churches as well. Liam, lastly from you, any other stories that make your heart sing, that have been, see your investment as really worthwhile in that space?
Yeah, fully. I think there's two ones that come to mind. So one is about a student who's about halfway through high school, and her parents have made the decision that she's not allowed to go to a youth group or a church, but she comes along to Insight and she loves it there. She's learned so much about the Bible and so much. I think that she's been thriving and growing in her faith so much at this space. And so I think for me, I feel so privileged that even out of the normal place in my church building that I do the majority of my ministry, I'm still being able to be a youth minister to her so that she's able to get as much of the benefits from being a part of youth ministry. So I think that's the first story. I think that's really, really special how much she's growing there and values that. Second one as well is about just one of the kids in my ministry here at St. Stephen's. I've asked him about junior leading before, and he just hasn't had the confidence to kind of step up and do it, to serve in some kind of kids environment, because he doesn't feel ready. But when Heather was talking earlier about how the year 10s wanted to run some talks, he jumped at that opportunity, and I was able to be there for him having his first crack at giving a Bible talk at Insight. And just to see just the unbelievable amount of hard work that he put into that and how he did like a really, really good job, I think was so personally encouraging for me, but has now given me the opportunities to have follow-up conversations with him about what it might look like for him to get more involved in serving at our church, because I can now say with evidence, like, I know you can do this. And so I really back you for it.
That's wonderful. Dave, I assume that everyone now has got to this point and is thoroughly convinced that they should be starting a lunchtime group in their local school. How do they reach out to you and your team so they can get the most help that they need?
Yeah, you can email me at david.krebs@sunewsouthwales.org.au. I'll buy you a coffee, I'll buy you lunch. We've got a work card, so it's great. But yeah, just love to have a chat. And I think it's just, have a real think and pray, because my experience of this last year in this job is that they're all booming. Like, one group started this year and it's already up to 50 kids every week. And it's just like, there's such a hunger and a desire to have a place where kids can feel safe and ask their questions, because I don't think that's around a lot. And the fact that the diversity of kids that are coming to these groups that you would never find in the SRE classroom is testament to that. And I think it's a great place for them to start exploring the big questions of life. And so we would love to help you do that.
Dave, Heather and Liam, thank you so much for jumping on and sharing about lunchtime groups. It is a wonderful ministry, a great complement to the other things that we do as Christian ministers to young people. So thanks for sharing all of your stories.
The Effective Ministry Podcast is a production of Youth Works in Sydney. We want to see effective youth and children's ministry in every church. And one of the ways that you can help us do that is by letting people know about this podcast in all the usual ways, like, comment, share and review on your favourite social media and podcasting platform. If you've got comments, thoughts or questions for this podcast, you can email us at effectiveministrypodcast@youthworks.net. And also check out youthworks.net for other ways that YouthWorks can help you have an effective youth and children's ministry in your church.